To see you brave the Kansas winter weather. We're in the middle of winter here in Kansas now. I'm sure as you studied your lesson, you noticed a verse in the Sunday school lesson where the psalmist says, "O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you." So the Lord wants to do good in our hearts here this morning, but there's one requirement, to have our hearts in tune with him. So I trust that we have met that condition, and the Lord will do good in our hearts. Let's sing.
Everybody sing relatively softly, but listen for the bass melody line. Good morning. I greet all of you this morning in the name of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, I wasn't here for church because I was not feeling well, and this went through about Wednesday till my situation started to turn around a bit. In that process, I had extreme achy legs and an achy back, and I think it was about Tuesday, I asked my wife for a back rub to try to help my achiness. And as my wife gave me a back rub, I've had, for quite a number of months, I've had this bump on my lower back that just wouldn't go away. We weren't sure what it was. Well, as she gave me a back rub, she hit that bump, and something happened. Not sure what, but it hurt. And as time went on, I noticed that this thing is looking angry, it's red, and it was really hurting. And one day, I think it was maybe Wednesday, walked up to my wife and gave her a hug, and she hugged me back. And as she gave me the hug, her hand hit that spot on my back, and it hurt. And I said, "Ow!" And she said, she looked at me kind of funny, like, "How can a hug hurt like that?" And as I pondered this, I kind of got to thinking about how pain affects our lives. I wound up calling the doctor on Thursday, got an appointment on Friday, and long story short, they cut it open. Let me tell you something. If the doctor tells you he's going to freeze it as a method of numbing, ask him for the needle, because it doesn't work. I thought I was going to come off the table. This was not fun. But I got to thinking about this, like I said earlier, and I want to make some observations and then talk about a subject that has become very real to me in the last couple years. Was my wife actually the cause of my pain when she gave me a hug? No. She was simply reactivating something that was there already, another source of pain. Do you think that she would keep on hurting me if I don't get the pain fixed? It's probably going to happen, right? Her or anybody else who touches that is going to cause me pain. Not their own fault, not their own actions, but simply because they're reactivating my pain that already exists. Dealing with the real source of pain can be incredibly painful. It hurt a lot worse than I thought it would. But was it worth it? I told my wife later, that Friday of last week, I think. Healing feels really, really good. It started to itch. The inflamed area on my back started to clear up, and it actually got to the point where she could have fun squeezing around on the thing and trying to get the rest of the junk out that was still causing me pain. So she went from hurting me to actually being able to help with the pain. Again, not because she was the source of my pain, but because there was something else that needed to be dealt with. I want to share with you this morning about the subject of forgiveness. Over the last couple of years, this is a subject that has become really real to me. And one of the things that I have learned as I look at this subject is that many times the pain that we experience, our emotional pain in our lives, comes from unforgiveness that we have not dealt with. And lest I forget it, I want to throw this out for your consumption. Something that I was taught probably from little up is that if someone wrongs you, you need to forgive them. And if you see that person again and you feel these feelings welling up inside you, you need to forgive them again. And if you meet them again and you feel these same things coming up inside of you and you feel this wrong again, you need to forgive them again. I'm going to be pretty blunt. I've come to see that as the devil's merry-go-round. When you meet somebody and you have to forgive them over and over and over and over for the same offense, I can assure you that is a good sign that there is pain. There's unforgiveness in our hearts that hasn't been dealt with. When we allow Jesus Christ to heal that pain, it's over. It's done. Just a little snippet from my own personal journey. I had a major source of emotional pain in my life. And I began to become aware that it was literally coloring just about everything I did. how I handled customers, how I related to my wife, my children, my family, the community. But I am here to tell you that when Jesus Christ heals that pain, it is over, and you do not have to revisit it over and over again. That is what Jesus can do for us. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 18. I want to read a passage that talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a doctrine that is very central to Christianity and very unique to Christianity. There is no other religion in the world that I'm aware of that makes forgiveness as central as it is in Christianity. I'm not sure that it even exists at all. Other religions, in order for you to become, to connect you with their God, they offer appeasement. Can you imagine trying to appease God? I'm glad we do not have to do that. God forgives us only because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And I think I can scripturally add, only if we forgive others. Let's read Matthew 18. I want to start in verse 21 and read through verse 35. This is a story about a man who was struggling with forgiveness, and I want to draw some things out of this story. Verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?' Jesus saith to him, 'I say not to thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven,'" 490 times. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all.' Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me that thou owest.' And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all.' But he would not, but went and cast him to prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after he had called him, said to him, 'O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?' And his lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now I want to put this debt into perspective for just a little bit in today's world. Did a little research on this, and I believe this talent that Jesus is using in this story is what is today referred to as the heavy common talent. The heavy common talent is about 130 pounds. So if you do the math, if you have 130 pounds of silver in a talent, and there's 10,000 talents of silver, that is 1.3 million pounds of silver. Again, doing the math, if you want to haul that, that's 32 and a half semi-loads of silver. That is a lot of silver. If you were to try to repay that debt in today's dollars, that is worth over a half a billion dollars. Billion with a B. If you were to earn $150 a day and put that money against that debt, it would take you over 19,000 years if every dollar went against the debt. That's not figuring anything for interest, inflation, living expenses, etc. 19,590 years just to pay the debt. So I asked the question, was it possible for him to pay the debt? Of course not. We know instinctively when you look at a debt like that, that's astronomical. I have no idea how in the world you dig a debt hole like that. I've seen people in debt holes, but nothing like this. So it's not possible for him to pay the debt. And he goes out and grabs his friend by the throat and says, "Pay me what you owe me." Why did he do that? And I've asked a lot of people that question, why did he do that? And the answer I often get is, well, he hadn't received his forgiveness. But what does that really mean? I don't know. We're not told in this story, but I think that this guy was intending to go out and to collect from everybody who owed him, and he was still intending to pay the debt back to the king. But do you see how it ended up for him? The king heard about this, and I want to look very closely here at the last two verses. Let me turn back to that again. His lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Remember the first time around he was going to sell him or throw him in prison. Now he does something very different. He delivers him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise, I want you to catch that. So likewise will your heavenly Father do to you if you do not from your hearts forgive everyone. If you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. What does that mean? I've been taught in the past that this idea of being delivered to the tormentors means that after the final judgment, we will be delivered to hell where we can be tormented by the devil and his angels. Well, I'm sorry, I don't think the devil and his angels are going to be busy tormenting anybody in hell. I think the Bible is very clear that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. They are going to be tormented as well as anybody else who's there. I don't think that torment that it's talking about is talking about our eternal destiny. I think it's talking about today. If you look at this word tormentors in the Greek, I discovered that this word tormentors exists only once in the New Testament in this passage. And from some of the studies I've done, from people I've talked to, some of my own very personal experience, I believe that what this is saying is that when we refuse to forgive somebody, we literally give demonic spirits legal rights to our lives to torment us in those areas where we refuse to forgive. That's how bitterness and all of those things begin. I see I'm running out of time here pretty rapidly. Verse 34 says that the king delivered him to the tormentors, and in that same manner, so likewise, God delivers us to the tormentors if we do not forgive our brothers our trespasses. Something else that I think we're saying, when we refuse to forgive our brother his trespasses, ask yourself this question: have I received God's forgiveness for the wrongs that I've done? I think every one of us can say yes to that. But if I receive God's forgiveness and in turn refuse to extend forgiveness to my brother, am I not really doing the same thing this servant was doing? I'm saying, God, I'll receive your forgiveness, but I want my brother to work out his offense to me. I want him to atone, to recompense to me for his offense if I don't forgive him. And in so doing, I'm actually turning around and telling God, I don't really want your forgiveness. I would really rather have a works salvation. Do you think that's going to go very well for us? It doesn't work. There are other passages in Matthew 6, Mark 11, and Luke 17. I see I don't have time to read them here, but where Jesus is very clear that if we do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us. I think that's a terrible place to be. I am tempted at times to refuse to forgive somebody. Just because I'm standing here talking to you about this subject does not mean that I walk perfectly in all aspects of forgiveness or unforgiveness. It seems like every time I have an opportunity to talk about this subject, God brings a name to my mind of someone that I need to forgive. And he was doing that again last night and this morning. I would far rather choose to forgive and be able to enjoy what the kingdom of God does in my heart when I do that, than to essentially come into agreement with what the kingdom of darkness is saying about this offense and agree with them and let them rule that area in my life. Just a few observations about unforgiveness. When I refuse to forgive, what I'm actually choosing to do, the Bible teaches us to develop the mind of Christ. When I refuse to forgive, I'm actually choosing to learn to think the way Satan thinks. I'm actually choosing to think, to develop the mind of Satan instead of the mind of Christ. And we begin deliberately moving our lives into a place where the things of God no longer make sense to us. That's a scary place to be, too. Bitterness. Bitterness closes up our spiritual discernment. I want you to think about that. Bitterness closes up our spiritual discernment. It closes our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. It causes me to not be able to hear what God wants to tell me. When I agree with the kingdom of darkness regarding an offense, God can no longer use me in that area of my life. I noted that John Regeer, somewhere in his material, he makes the comment that 97% of people have bitterness. 97%. I'm sure he wasn't talking about us, right? But I want you to consider something this morning. It is easy, when we hear a subject like this being talked about, it's easy for us to cast about in our minds, is there anybody that I'm not forgiving? I want to propose to you that the answer to that question is not found by analyzing ourselves or by analyzing our mind or thinking about those things. The answer to that question is found by turning to the Holy Spirit and asking God to show us what is in our hearts. And I assure you, if you do that with an honest heart, He will. I had a lot of surprises when I started asking God, who do I need to forgive? And I had names coming that I felt like I got the proverbial two before between the eyes a number of times. But you know what? When God brings those things to our mind and we allow Him to provide healing in our hearts the way that He wants us to, then He can begin to use us and we can begin to enjoy the gifts of the kingdom of God the way He intends us to. Another comment that I picked up that I think just lays its finger on the heart of the matter: bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. Bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other guy to die. You know, when I drink the poison of bitterness, who am I hurting? I'm not hurting the other guy. I'm just hurting myself. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." I think tenderheartedness is entering into the experience of another person and assisting them. It is impossible to be tenderhearted towards somebody and to be bitter toward them at the same time. It just doesn't work. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." There is a higher authority on earth than our feelings about ourselves. Forgiveness, and I want to stress this too, forgiveness is not spiritual amnesia. It's not just forgetting things. It's actually releasing the debt to the other person and allowing God to heal us of the pain that's been caused. I am so out of time, I will simply have to stop there. Revelation 21, verse 5 is a verse that has often struck me as I think about this subject. Jesus says, it says, "He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." And I believe that is what Jesus wants to do for every one of us. Wherever those hurts are, those emotional pains, those offenses, those things that people have done to us, Jesus Christ wants to enter into that experience in our life and make those areas new for us. I know He can do that. I've experienced it personally, and I believe with all my heart that He can do it for everyone who chooses to seek Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, this morning I am so grateful for Your forgiveness in our hearts and lives. Thank You for Your work on the cross, Your perfect work that atones for our sins. Father, we rejoice this morning in Your forgiveness that You have extended to us, and we receive it and accept it. And I simply pray this morning that as we do that, that You would help us to, with willing, open, and honest hearts, to extend that same forgiveness to those who offend us and who hurt us. Lord, I just pray that You would give us of Your Spirit, help us to be able to understand those who cause us offenses and hurts. I pray that You would help us to learn to see them the way that You see them in us. and to be examples of what it means to truly walk in your kingdom and to function and operate the way that you do as you forgive us. We just ask your presence here in this worship service. Pray that your Spirit would speak to us, touch our hearts, and meet our needs here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Sanford. There's nothing that gives us a new future like forgiveness. And I always think of Isaiah's description in Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It's a beautiful picture. Okay, the teachers are excused for the basement. Preschool and primary students may follow. And juniors and intermediates. Next Sunday, Marvin Knisley's class will be going to George Compton's. Sunday school lesson for the adults today is Psalm 122, 125, and 126. Next Sunday's lesson is 127, 128, and 130, and the new Sunday school schedules should be available next Sunday. You may go to your classes.
May I have your attention? If you are in the outside classroom, just be careful. The steps back here are very, very slick, so you might want to choose an alternate route. Thank you.
Turn to number 97, and I invite you to stand as we sing this. People continue to come in. 97. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O voice of praise, for he is thy health and salvation. Alleluia, to this temple draw near. Praise him in the
I just want to welcome everyone to this time of worship and praise, of share time where you can tell others and others can tell you. One of the important things, maybe I say it every time I'm up here, is that it's important that we remember that part of the worship, as we do corporately here, is that we encourage and, or that we're encouraged, and we need to just be aware that that is a role that each of us plays. This week brought many changes to many people's agendas and schedules, and every time it snows, my mind goes to Psalms 51:7, where David here is repenting of his sin. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And I'm always amazed, after it snows, the buildings that, or buildings or vehicles or fences, whatever you thought was white, there's always a great comparison to see if it really is white. It's amazing how dirty some white things look now with this beautiful snow that we have. But anyways, this is your time, and I think we have a mic ready for anybody who wants to share at this time. So feel free. Willard.
Up until about 5 years ago, I would have said that I'm pretty much a master of my destiny, and I'm in control of things, and I can pretty much manage my life, and I know where I'm going. Well, the last several years, that's not really how I think. In fact, sometimes I think that things in my life are pretty much out of control, and I'm not sure what's happening and where I'm going and where all this is going to end. Well, all that to say that last spring, my son was driving my pickup and rear-ended another vehicle. Did slight damage, very little damage to the other vehicle. And now I'm finding out that the other party says that they've suffered back injury because of the accident and had surgery and lost wages, and now they're demanding from the insurance company that's covered my vehicle, demanding $750,000 for compensation or whatever else that is. Well, I don't think that any of us are covered for quite that much on our vehicles. At least I'm not. And I'm thinking, well, that's pretty much out of my control, so where is this going? The insurance company is dickering with them, with the lawyer that they've hired, and it's basically out of my hands. I don't know what's going on with this, but if my insurance company doesn't settle with them, it could trickle on down to me, and then what? So I'm saying this to ask for your prayer support. I'm not sure what to ask or how to ask you to pray, except to pray for the person with the insurance company that's dealing with this. Give that person wisdom, and maybe pray for the other person for a change of heart. And I think deep down, what I do want is that God's will be done. Thank you.
Lowell, would you lead us in a prayer on this situation? Thank you.
Dear God, we just lift Willard and their situation to you. We realize that many times our life is out of our control, and we just realize that Willard is seeing that anew. We just ask that you be glorified, and that all in all, that people could be drawn to you. Just pray that you would, in a special way, give grace and understanding, and that the wheels of litigation and what might be allowed by the law would not jeopardize your overall plan for your people. I just pray for special grace and for wisdom, and that this would come out to bring glory to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Loyal.
Angie Taylor, a friend from town who we've had Bible studies with, requested the church to pray for her. She started having headaches again more recently, and her doctor thinks that it's a brain tumor that's probably cancerous, and she's getting another opinion, I think, this week from another doctor. So she's a single mom and has two sons, 13 and 15 years old approximately. So just request prayer for her in this uncertain and difficult situation.
All right. Thank you. I think we had a hand up here for... Matt Bretz has been engaged as the attorney, and the person in litigation or lawsuit refused treatment at the time of the accident. Okay. Lauren.
Last Sunday, I gave a report of Eugene Yoder, the man that was shot by a robber in Dominican Republic. And just shortly after that, it seemed like the Lord was miraculously healing him. And there was just a turnaround, and he began improving, and that's the last report I heard. And even the bullet seems to be moving, and they're hopeful that it might move to a safe place of operating and removing it. So the Lord is still in the miracle business.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that update. Praise item.
My name is Galen Rudiger. I'm from Newton. I was intrigued with the opening this morning about forgiveness. And I'll back up a little bit. It feels a bit strange for me to come here alone. My wife and I walked together for 65 years. She died December 13. prior to her death, her mind was clear all the way till she died. But prior to her death, we talked about forgiveness, forgiving each other, and we made it real clear that that was the case. And so I feel free, and I think she felt free as a result of that. So it's been a real honor and privilege to be here with people, a few of these people I know, and I just feel the Spirit of God here, and I am very happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Gail. Craig.
I'd like to give a bit of an update on the work at Bob Johnson's. I said something last Sunday to the youth group. There's especially two kids that I'd like you to pray for. One, his name is Christian. He's from Ark City. And he was asking questions like, why does God not answer? Why is God silent? When I ask him to help me make the right decisions, why do I screw up? Where is he? Why is he quiet? And it's a very difficult question to answer. The other one, his name is Marcus, and he made a commitment, I think it'd be about 2 weeks ago now. He was wanting to be out of there. He had prayed that he could be out by Wednesday a week ago. Well, he's still there, and he's taking it pretty well. I think he realizes that God might still have him there for a reason, and from our perspective, it's wonderful to have him there. He's a great asset to our Sunday morning services, but pray that he could be that he could stand strong and be a witness to the other kids there. And I kind of hate to pull out two because all of the kids in there have so many needs. But continue to pray for the work there and for Marcus and Christian in particular.
All right. Thank you, Craig. Paul.
It's marvelous to see how God continues to work, encouraged by what I hear. Also in different people's lives and towns, we've been encouraged, and especially you recognize Patty Yoder's name, and the man she's with, Dwayne, we feel fairly clear that God's light shone into his heart this past week. And it may be a little dim, but I think it was clearly God did a work. And so please pray for him. And he plans on attending, they plan on attending the seminar out in town. And also for Josh and Laura, who were here this past week. God's work in their lives, we see God's work, and we also feel the tremendous warfare that is going on for souls and for their souls as well. And on the way out here this morning, Frank said, I had his permission to share it, and he said, you know, my wife and I, we're not yelling at each other anymore. And I just praise the Lord for those confirmations of his leading.
Thank you for sharing that, Paul. Somebody else have something you'd like to share with the congregation? Kathy.
Last week I had told you there was a van that needed to head to West Virginia. It is in West Virginia. Craig took it out there. I felt very led to put some groceries into the van for the family. I knew they were running kind of low again, and there's just things that looks like they have about one more month where they can draw unemployment because he got injured in the coal mines. Well, in these groceries, I had put peanut butter, so I thought, oh, a jar of jelly might be nice. I had no idea that for this family, jelly is considered a special treat. They hardly ever eat something like that. When I heard that, I realized how much we have. We don't consider jelly to be a treat. It's a staple. I just started crying. I had no idea I was sending them a treat.
Thank you for that, Kathy. Okay, we do have some prayer requests, and I'd just like to just take a moment of for prayer for Ann Taylor and for Christian and his frustration, Marcus for his new commitment, and for Dwayne that Paul brought forth. So I would just like to spend a minute in silent prayer, and then I will close, and then we'll have the transition song. We have through your word the promise that we can pray in faith. And I just pray, dear Lord, as these requests for Ann Taylor and her sickness, and for Marcus and his frustration, and Christian and his frustration, for Marcus for his recent commitment, and for Dwayne and his recent commitment, dear Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a way that they can see the hope that you give to all mankind. Thank you for leading us and being in our midst, and may we continue to praise and glorify you through our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, let's have the transition song at this time.
We Oh, welcome each one to this part of the service. Glad to see each one here. Isn't it a blessing, as that song said, though hard the journey may appear, and yet all is well, as we recognize the sovereignty of God and His control. It's a special welcome to all the visitors that are here. It's good to see you here with us today. Today's offering will be for the Hands of Christ ministry, and next Sunday's offering will be for the MCC Relief Sale / OVM, the Offender Victim Ministries. This morning, David Yoder is at Zion ministering there, and Laverne is ministering at Cornerstone, and Gary is at Faith Builders at the board meeting the previous 2 days. Jonas Morinigo has applied for membership here, and so we look forward to that. Bless you for that. Hope Ministries has their seminar this week at the Ramada, and the details are on the bulletin board if you have any interest in the schedule and so on. For Wednesday evening, there will be no joint service here. The small groups that was canceled last Wednesday evening, those will be this week. Not all the groups will be meeting on Wednesday evening, so contact your group leaders on which evening works for you. I think that's all the announcements we have. If we can have the mic up front and start with announcements.
For the youth, tonight will be free evening. And also, we're still not having very much luck finding people to host the singing, so if you would like to speak to one of us, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yes, just a reminder, this Saturday, the Anabaptist Financial Seminar in Yoder from 8 to 5, and there's still some slots available. So if you'd like to attend, let me know, and there's some brochures. There are some brochures in the back as well.
Reminder for the young marrieds, today is the deadline for registration for the Art of Marriage Retreat, March 22nd through 25th.
Okay, is that all the announcements? Okay, I think we'll have the ushers come forward. And as I had mentioned, today's offering will be for the Hands of Christ ministry. And next Sunday, MCC Relief Sale and Offender Victim Ministries. Shall we rise for prayer? Father in heaven, this morning we thank you that you surround your people even as the mountains round about Jerusalem. Thank you for the security and stability that gives to our lives. Help us, Lord, to just more fully understand your sovereignty, your control over the affairs of men, even when men do things that are evil, yet ultimately you are in control. Lord, we praise you for your goodness, your presence here this morning. Pray a special blessing on Brother Arlen as he brings the message. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Anoint our hearts with your Holy Spirit so that they can be receptive to what you have for us. Let's pray that you would bless the Hands of Christ ministry, that it could continue to be a means of meeting needs practically and also spiritually with people in the area. Give wisdom to those who make the decisions. Guide and direct us, Lord. We praise you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.